it's Elizabeth Wood, New Earth Conversations. I get to talk to Dr. Carol today. Her name is Dr. Carol Jean Murat. Is that correct?
Jean Murat. Jean Murat.
Wow, Jean Murat. Thank you.
Yes.
And this beautiful mystic woman, she is not only a medical doctor and gynecologist, she's a heart of pure generosity. She has given so much of her life to more than one cycle of giving and healing. And so I'm so pleased to have you, to get to speak with you today, Dr. Carol. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So I get to ask this fantastic question. We are in this time of great change, and it really cannot be underestimated how much things are changing for people.
Yes.
What are you seeing right now, Dr. Carol, about where are people right now in their healing? What is blocking people the most right now during this time of change?
What I've noticed is that people are dealing with fear now, and mostly is the fear of the unknown. This is the first time in history where people are forced to be confined, cannot go places, cannot see their loved ones, are using what I call the box. And it's never happened before. So people are trying to cope, and people, depends on where you live. Some places you can go out, some people you can't. And things are confusing. The news, people don't know really what is really going on, and it's mostly fear. And the idea is that, well, things what I do, I just have close family members and I say, you'll tell me what to do. I just stay put and I deal with the box, like call it the computer, or and when I talk to my, or the phone, when I do my consults, and I just spend time in my garden. And when I'm in my garden and I'm looking at the beautiful sky, I live in beautiful San Diego, and May is the most beautiful time of the year. And I have about maybe 40 rose bushes all in bloom, all these flowers. And then when I'm there, I am just connected with the moment. And that's the most difficult things for people are dealing these days. They're so much into the future and the moment, the present, that they used to be so unknown. So this is what I'm dealing with. And that's what will make people sick. Being isolated, some people cannot be going to church, going to place of worship, going to groups. And for example, I take voice lessons. I didn't cancel my voice lessons. I have a huge living room, so I have a baby grand piano. So I have my teacher come through the door, stay at the piano, and I stay in the kitchen and I sing. So a lot of people, I don't have that opportunity. And I am blessed to have my assistant who came with his girlfriend and got stuck. And she has an 11-year-old that have been staying with me for the past 8 weeks. I don't have any children of my own. I've never had any grandchildren. I've adopted children. And then to have an 11-year-old craze, we've been having so much fun. And I'm realizing what it is that is making me whole is being in the moment. Being in the present. Present moment. This is the most important thing. Also, surrendering. We cannot change what's happening in the world. We cannot change what people are paying. So also what I've done is when people call me and they start talking about the virus and this, and I said, what have you been doing? I change the conversation. I bring them back into the moment, into what they're doing, I say, this is the time to call your friends. This is the time to send them a little joke. This is the time. So this is what is difficult right now, is being able to keep the world away. So that's what's happening to most people. And as soon as I start talking to them, I call them friends. I have a lot of friends. You should see my contact list. And I will call them, how are you doing? And then by the time they start talking about something, a detour to talk about, I'm just asking, how are you doing? Would you like anything? Can I send something for you? Do you miss anything? It's just any way I can help. And And they love that. And I tell them a joke. You want to hear the joke I tell them about the virus? I have a cousin of mine. He said, oh, I have a little cough, so maybe I have the virus. And I say, oh, no, what you do, it's easy. You don't have to have the virus. How you do, you talk to the virus. I said, let's say you do that sign. This is the peace sign. And then turn it around. And this is the eye of the virus. And you go like, and this is the eye of the virus. And I go like this, you cannot do anything to me. Poo, poo, poo. And it cuts the virus and the virus will run. And they will laugh. Things like that. I'm a comedian. And I feel because I'm very happy. So I have so much love and so much peace in my heart. So I share it. So I always give them a joke. I always tell my friends, my family member, always make them laugh.
That's beautiful. So I'd like to mirror back what you said. So we have this, it's an epidemic of fear, of fear. And to shift out of this fear, the fear being caused by worrying about the future, leaking all that energy, leaking the light, because you can't do anything in the future, or the action is in the now.
It's in the now. And that's the great gift that I have of being able to be in the now. Like I'm talking to you now, the world doesn't exist. The world doesn't exist. Even my beautiful garden doesn't exist. I have a mockingbird for the whole month of May is going to sit on the top of one of the trees of an orange tree. And he will just sing from 5 o'clock in the morning. And I will go sometime and say, who pays the mortgage here? And then sometime he will go for a while and try to come and sneak back in. And I said, and then I don't pay him attention, but he just like, hey, some people are living in an apartment in, people will be a billionaire, but they in a place where they cannot move anywhere. And here I have birds visiting me and I'm thinking they're too noisy. So I stop chasing him and he will come back anyway. But it's fun. So
but that's an example, bringing yourself into the now, asking what nature is around me right now.
Yes.
What laughter can I create in the moment, right this moment?
Yes.
And then surrendering. I love that too. Would you speak more about surrendering? How does that look and feel, and how can people surrender better?
Through my life journey of always thinking, oh, this one is it. I'm going to go to medical school. I'm going to live in different countries. For example, I'm speaking with you in my fourth language now. And then it's just like, oh, I'm going to have a practice, and patients are going to come. I'm going to make money. And then my gifts start creeping, my intuitive gift, my intuitive healing, my healing without the knife start creeping on me. And then eventually I have to quit obstetrics, then quit gynecology. What am I going to do? And then it's just like, I'm always in a constant transition. And I realize we can make it an easy way. I just have to worry, just go for the journey. And the word that I use is not the destination, is the journey. It is the journey, because we think we might, oh, we're going to go somewhere. For example, from San Diego, I'm going to go to the East Coast. And then instead of finding myself in Florida, I find myself in Maine because the, the detour. So there have been so many detours. And I said, I learned my lesson. Instead of trying to say, oh, I want to go to Florida, and then I might end up in Maine or in New York. I'm doing the thing I said, oh, I don't like where it's very cold. Hopefully it'll be a little more to the south, but not taking Florida as the destination where I'm going to go. And by doing that, I'm having a ball. And my life has been constant changing, constantly transition. For example, I'm ready to go and speak with doctors at the hospital I created as a physician burnout prevention coach. I have CMEs and workshops that I'm starting to do in person. Boom. So because of, I have been always riding the new wave. You know how I see myself now? There is a beautiful ocean Caribbean Ocean. And I am a little boat. I am a little boat, a little sailboat. And they have a way to say, à la merci des vents et des flots. I am at the whims of the winds and the how do you call it, the tide. So I go. So, and when you are able to attain that, and that's what I am teaching my residents. I'm a mentor for intuitive healing mentor for students, for residents at the UCSD School of Medicine. And that's what I teach them. Be in the present, be in, with your patient, that particular person who's with you, wanting to for you to help, and teach them their increase their intuitions and how to be connected, how to be in the moment with them, because the people know, they know when you're there. So, and that's what I do. Like, I'm totally with you. And it's just like,
I love it. I am too. I'm with you as well. So really the most realistic thing we can do is be in the flow. It's the most realistic. It's not realistic to always have some final destination that doesn't really exist. What exists is the journey. Yeah. The journey is the only thing that exists.
The journey. I love that. It's not about destination, it's the journey. And then this shows what has been happening. Whatever, how many dreams, and I remember they are building a new restaurant. You know, it's been taking a lot of time and we're looking forward to it. And guess what? Nobody eats in restaurants. So imagine the amount of money the people put through it, the work, and I've done constructions, and the energy, the effort, and then guess what? So.
Yeah, exactly. And,
so that's the best thing.
Us to transform in the moment then and find that whatever crumbles, that we can build something new from there.
That's it. But many times I found out, you know, as a physician, as a surgeon, it's sometimes the people, they don't trust who they are. They don't trust they can. They don't trust that they can trust the moment, trust the journey, and trust that whatever is happening is a lesson that they are supposed to be learning for their own good. Mm-hmm. That's what I find. So just like, what am I supposed to be learning? I'm called a pathological optimistic. I said, I'd rather be a pathological optimistic. Because I always see what is it? What is the best? Okay, it's raining. Oh, my water bill is going to be less. You know, exactly. Something. I say, oh, it's raining. I was supposed to be in the garden, but oh, my water bill is going to be less this month. I always, and it's by practicing and practicing. So essentially, how we get sick, there's something called the fight or flight. The fight or flight, we constantly, when we feel, when we worry and fear, we're pumping adrenaline, we're pumping cortisol in our system. But then that's a way to dissolve it with the breath. Something happens and taking a breath and dissolving it. And then we're happy, we're healthy. I'm the healthiest and happiest person you can ever meet right now.
Yes, me too. I feel the same. I've never been happier. It's true. And you're right, with the breath, that brings you into the present, being in the breath. And it does take so much trust. And what I've seen too is people, when they really get to the core of it, Dr. Carol, that they're really afraid of death. That they're afraid, ultimately, the greatest fear is that they're afraid of death. And would you speak to that? I think you're like me, that in the end, there's nothing to be afraid of around death at all.
No.
So no. I'd like to hear, how did you get into that for yourself?
I'm afraid of pain. I'm a coward. I'm afraid of needles. People say, you're a surgeon. Yes. I'm afraid of pain. So I always had that fear that death was something that's going to be very difficult, because I remember when I was a resident, we had a patient who had cancer and she was dying and she was screaming all over. That's the things I remember. And I remember, as an obstetrician and gynecologist, I will only deal with healthy people. So there is always, okay, if you're going to be dying, it's going to be horrible. But things have been changing for example, hospice care. I remember when we made the decision that my aunt, all my ancestors, all my elders died at home, at peace, and in making sure that they are at peace. And that was years ago, and we had to fight for it. But now that's what happened. You stay at home, and people are afraid, number one, are they going to be in pain? And then there is, you know, hospice care, where you're comfortable, and that have taken away almost of the fear for the people. But that is of the unknown. And in my experience, I am also, I heal, my father say, I don't do anything. I'm the mirror. I'm able to connect people with their loved ones. See, I am a OBGYN, a gynecologist, primary care specialist. That I say I have four quadrants, and that's the one. And I know the body from follicle to cuticle. And the other one is I'm a spiritual healer. Sometimes a patient needs for me to pray for them and teach them how to reconnect with their faith. Because when you have faith that you will be taken care of. When I go to Haiti, for example, after we had the earthquake, so many people lost so many things, but they had faith that tomorrow will be a better day. And it was like one lady, she lost a daughter, and that she worked so hard, and the daughter became a doctor. So imagine a little village to pay for her to go to school and all those things. And she had two other children. So she came to see me at the clinic, at the hospital. And I thought she had any issues with her because of the daughter's death. But she said, no, I heard you heal by touching. I'm having problem with my knee and with my legs and my right legs. I just want you to touch it for me. And I said, okay, because she comes with a faith knowing that I'm going to, whatever happens, going to heal. That's how people heal themselves, you know. And so I did that. I told her to breathe and I massaged it and massaged until the muscles relaxed, and then it was very smooth. And I said, this is what you need to do. He said, thank you. She hugged me. She brought me a little gift. And then she said, thank you. And I said, how are you doing otherwise? She said, I'm doing fine. She never mentioned a daughter who died in the earthquake, in a doctor, in a house crashed, or, you know, she died in the house that crumbled. And I said, I heard about your daughter. I'm sorry. He said, oh, don't worry. God give us thing, and God takes it. I have two, and she's older. And she said, I have two others that my daughter was helping. Now I have to be there for them. She had reason to live. That's what always, whatever sickness you have that reason to live. So having their faith and having the, so, and many times I pray with my patient. I'm teaching my doctors to help understand how the power of prayers. One of my last book that I have is called Heal Your Life, in teaching how to reconnect with the higher power. It doesn't matter with whom you pray, as long as you pray to, you have a connection with the power. It doesn't matter the name of it. So that, as a spiritual healer, that's what I do. And many times, most people who come to me who are sick is because they don't have any faith, they don't have any connection with a higher power, a supreme being, that they can give it to their, usually carrying the load on their own, and give it to that load and say, okay, I have things to do. You take care of it. That's the most beautiful thing you can do. And also, I am I'm an intuitive healer. My gift are able to see instantly. That's also, it's practicing. It takes me, I ask you two questions and I know everything about your life because I see your past, I see whatever happened, the trauma, whoever you are, and I can see your future, but I can see that. So I'm an intuitive healer. The fourth quadrant is that I'm a medium and a psychic. I could say of a medium is just like people will come to me, and then I have a woman, she was hemorrhaging to death. And then the resident sent her, it's a clinic. Well, I should have been at the clinic going now, but we had to close today because of the virus. So I've been going there for 23 years. So that's why the residents come through me, to me through that clinic, because they will send me patients who, that patient is hemorrhaging. So the first time it happened, and I'm sitting next to her, and I don't stand, I'm 6 foot tall anyway, I'm very tall. So I sit on a little stool, and then she's sitting on the chair, and I don't look at the computer, and I said, why are you here? She said, I've been bleeding. Why are you bleeding? And she said, I'm the specialist who's supposed to, they've been giving me all these medications, dysfunctional, bleeding, everything, blah, blah, blah. You're supposed to tell me By the way, people know. I just opened the mirror for them and I said, why do you think you, whatever is happening to you? And I held her hands. I looked into her eyes. Why are you bleeding? She said, I lost my son. My son died in an accident at 21 years of age. And then she was grieving and unconsciously she wanted to join her son. But I had to remember the most important thing is having a reason to live. She has a husband, she has a daughter and a granddaughter. And also at the time she was angry. That's what people do. Why me? Why this thing is happening to me? Why do I have to lose my son? And then she's Christian. So I said, you believe God as a son? Yes. I said, you're a sinner then because you have a daughter. She's like, and she smiled for the first time. And then so at the time when I'm telling her, she stood. And then when she said, I lost my son, I stood up with her. And then, and she, I usually stand up and the patient hugs me. And then she said, I miss my son. And all of a sudden, I feel a son is coming through me. And she said, I want my son to tell me he loves me. I miss that. And I said, I love you, mommy. I kissed her while all the tears were coming out of her eyes. And then it was the grief that was coming out. And after that, I showed her to pray. Help me, Jesus, help me. I'm weak. And then I said, that's what you do. Now you say goodbye to your son. Now you're able to pray and reconnect with your faith. You have to pray. And a lot of people, that's what happened. When something happened, they lose faith. And that's the time you pray harder. I said, that's the time you pray. And then I show her, I had her kneel in front of me and hold her hands. And then she prayed, Jesus, sweet Jesus, the Lord of the strong, help me, I'm weak. Help me, ask and you shall receive. So whatever entity that you talk, you believe in, because I'm a, whether you are Adonai, I know I live Elohira, is in Hebrew, God is with me, I shall not fear. And you say, help me. And your faith, then that's what you surrender. That's the surrendering. And then so, I use my spiritual healing and my mediumship to connect with the son to say goodbye, and the son could go to the light, and then she can continue living for her son, a daughter, and her husband, and a granddaughter. And she comes back a month later. I go there once a month, third Wednesday, and a month, and she came back. She had diabetes that couldn't control her diabetes. Her teeth, her gums were swollen. She's losing her teeth. She's hemorrhaging to death, and they're doing all those tests. And then I just ask her, why are you bleeding? And I open her subconscious for her. And she realized, unconsciously, I want to die to join my son. And I said, do you think your son is happy that you said, oh no, my son was a prankster. And then I took her back into that joy of the time they spent together and the time that we die when it's time for us. We never die before then, never. And by connecting, so this is, I'm able to heal. I give, they have, I ask her, what do you want? She said, I want to heal. That's what this, I ask the patient, I want to heal. I want to be there for my son, for my daughter, for my husband, for somebody, it's not you, somebody bigger and somebody you want to do something with. And then that gives you the strength. So then that's how they heal. I will connect them. And then you have the power to heal yourself. Your cells are rejuvenating every 21 days. And I guess the gift that I have is able to see the cause. I always call it the root cause, because I don't prescribe anything. When the person you are with me is just like, what is it that's causing you to have diabetes? What is it that your heart is racing? What is it that you're anxious? What is it that you can't sleep? So, and I make them go inward, because the answer is inward. It has nothing to do with what you eat or drink or organic, blah, blah, blah. It's what is killing us is the fear, like I said, and not surrendering. And if you have a higher power that you can give it to, the best thing ever happened. Take it. I have things to do. That's what the people who don't have opportunities do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're in very good health. They might have no money, but they're very happy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have material things, but they are at peace. Like that lady, she was so happy. She was content. She moved on. Her grieving went very quickly. Because I have things to do. God is taking care of everything. She's with God.
Ah, yes. Oh, you've made me just cry my eyes out, Dr. Carol.
People do that. You won't believe it. All men, women, the doctors, big surgeon, big, you know, the people I'm helping. Because what it is, the healing is not to understand. It's that simple. I'm just a mirror. It's that simple. And then many things happening to your head, many things. That's what people do when they listen to me. Things they could have done. They didn't have to do that. And it's okay. We learn. And so it's learning as simply as a healer. That's what I'm helping healers. I'm thinking about doing a course to teach other healers, not just doctors, but other healers how to help the people. When somebody come to you, it's not just the blood test, what are you going to do? Who is this person? What is causing them to be where they are in front of you? And when they come to you as a healer in front of you, what the title you have the responsibility to learn and to know, but they're not a good teacher. So I see myself as a teacher to teach the people how simple it is. Doesn't matter what you do, Reiki, how you do. I'm working just with doctors, but people are saying, helping other healers, helping them be the best that they can be. So I'm thinking putting a course together.
Oh, I think that anyone listening would absolutely love to be your student.
Yes, and it's so simple. It's so easy. It's so easy. So
it is. It is. I love to watch how. Sorry, I'm laughing and crying. It's wonderful. Thank you.
Wonderful. Yes.
That's the point. Letting it flow. Letting it flow.
Yes. Letting it flow.
Yeah.
And letting it flow.
And those feelings of pain, the fear of death or pain, the fear of whatever it might be showing up in our life, especially the subconscious, we can ask ourselves those questions every day too. Why is it really that I feel so much pain exactly today? And not tomorrow, mm-hmm. not yesterday,
mm-hmm.
today. And going in and asking God, reveal to me, Spirit, reveal to me the truth of this. So that way we make room to receive that grace. And it's going to look like amazing things if we don't have too many expectations. You know, we put our ideas in a box.
Expectations.
How that looks.
That's why the surrender, whatever happened. Okay, I have the tomato, but then it's an apple. All right, apple juice, apple fritters. You can see, I've arrived. It's just like, doesn't matter. It's just like.
And so. I love because I see that happen if people drop the expectations. I want to tell a quick little story that just happened. Okay. My sister was in a very difficult spot. And she had to basically be protected legally. And I told her on the phone, I said, look, you can't have too big of expectations. Don't pray for things that are unrealistic. Pray with an open door. Let the door be open to what is gonna happen. And she took it as a challenge. And she said, all right, God, bring it on. Bring it on. And everything she could have hoped for and more unfolded for
always,
her.
Always.
You know what happened just in the past 24 hours, Dr. Carol? My sister went from not having a purpose in her life to deciding that the wonders of finding justice was something she wanted to share with the people. And she has spent time in Africa, and she said, Elizabeth, I'm going to travel the world. I'm going to help the women find justice. Suddenly, because she allowed that door to be wide open, yes, without expectation, and she, yes, asked God to bring it on, She has not only justice, she has a purpose. It's miraculous.
Yes. It's the power of surrender. It's the power of trusting. It's trusting. And what I found out, people, especially if they were abused, women, 9.5 out of 10, emotionally, verbally, physically, and sexually, they don't trust, because many times it was happening to somebody close to them who they were supposed to trust, who's hurting them. And then sometimes they will, or people around them who see the abuse happening and not doing anything. So usually that was is happening, because how do you learn trust? How do you learn trust? Because you always have to be there for yourself to defend yourself. And all these women over the years, when I was practicing at my private practice, well-to-do women, and that's what was, you know, and they were more miserable than the poor people that I met in the clinics here in Mexico or in Haiti. They have a chance to have an education, they have a chance to verbalize, they have a chance to say things, but then they didn't trust anybody because they could only trust themselves. So it's the idea of, I was the first person they could trust and they would feel it. And that was the only human being that would love them just the way they are, unconditionally. I remember there was a young gentleman who looked at me. It was a 36-year-old white male, and I was at the clinic, and I said, "What can I do for you?" And I looked at him. He started to cry. And he said, "You're looking at me. You're looking at me." And I didn't realize at that moment, you are looking at me. So that means I exist. I can see in your eyes that I am somebody. And this is what is very difficult for people to trust. For people to be able to trust another human being, or any, for that matter. It happened to me. A lot of things happened to me when I was growing up. And I said, there is no God. There is no way there can be a God for all these things to happen to me. It took me burning out. It took me a lot of things and having great teachers. That's why I'm a teacher to others. Having a great teacher to say what us human we do has nothing to do with our higher power. We have to trust that our higher power only wants good things for us. And it's the truth. And when you are able to get out of your comfort zone of the shield that you put around yourself to protect yourself, it's not easy to open it and to be able to trust. It's not easy. So that's why people get sick. That's why they end up getting sick. That's why they're sick, because it's not easy. And your sister was very happy to have you to trust when you say something, but some people don't. Some people don't. And also, if we look at what is happening in the world, everything's so negative, it reinforces the negativity. So we just have to, that's why when somebody comes, "Could you please, I'm doing something, could you please help me, could you please speak?" I take the time. Somebody will listen and say, "You can trust, and there are people you can trust." Because that's what's killing you.
Wow, that's amazing. I think it's so true. And to truly be seen is so deeply healing. And I think that's a wonderful message for the healers that will listen to this today.
Yes.
To be intent in the moment and really look. Not
at that patient.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm teaching. Also, I'm teaching my resident, look at the person. The person is a total, I use the analogy, the metaphor of the cake with multiple slices. The person is that candle, and it's her relationship with her spirit, with her money, with her career, with her intimate partner, with her children, with her environment, with her lifestyle. All those things are creating her a culture. So nobody fits in the box, because we are all as unique as our own DNA, and we can change our DNA. Yes, it's being shown, and somebody could have had something. You could have the gene, and to me, it's the worst thing you could do the genes. And I have seen people dying but getting the results, instead of say, "Hey, My mother had it. I don't have to have it. And that's it. So it is. So you see what I mean? So, and going back to the, that's what I'm teaching the doctors, physicians burning out, 60%, 2 out of 3 are burning out. 3 out of 4 residents are burned out. So they are in a situation where they have to, they cannot even use their intuition because they have so little time, so many rules and regulations, they cannot live. And the patients also are demanding having Dr. Google with them, they're empowered by Dr. Google, they don't even let you do your work. So it's very difficult for them. So it's how to be in the moment with that patient and give the best you can in any circumstance. So,
yeah, that's a good point too, the Dr. Google getting in the way of the work, because people feel so disempowered. That
yeah, well, now they have to empower. Yeah, they get the power, but not realizing that the healing is the relationship between you and the healer and the physicians. Because I think doctors have more rules and regulation against them and time and things in malpractice, the health record, the schedule and asking for permission to do everything. And it's just like, oh, no wonder they're burning out. So that's when I'm working with those and see, where are you now? I want all the doctors to, because I burned out myself years ago, 20 years ago, and how you can keep regain your joy of medicine and see what you can do. So that's what I work on. That's it now. That's what I'm dedicating my time. Because make them understand, and each person is different because each person's eyes, you know, the cake of the 12 slices, there was one slice missing here, one slice. So have them reinforce it and put the glue for them, showing them then, because I'm saying my goal is that they stay in medicine. And my residents, they come and the when they spend time with me and, you know, oh, they cry. And I would like look at them like, you want me to have a lobotomy, take a little piece of my brain, put it in your brain. Yes, yes. And I want to do a medium like you. Because one of the patients they sent to me, I said, it was a son who died, that patient, and she stopped bleeding. And they've been trying to stop, for her to stop bleeding for months. And then I never, there is one, he looked at me, very handsome and tall, and said, I want to be a medium like you. I said, oh, the spirit decide with whom they want to talk.
That's true. Right?
I don't think I can teach you that. If you open to heal, see, if you open to heal that person in front of you, anything, it's going to happen to you, through you. The prayer, the any healing energy, I pray with them. I have to see a light coming and healing your body. And then 3 days, they said, I'm better. And whatever cancer, whatever they had, I'm alive. But my father said, and I have a lot of mentors, I of myself do nothing, but the Holy Spirit works through me. I'm the mirror. I am the mirror. And I've surrendered and allowing the mirror, I'm allowing any healing energy to that the person, because if you Adonai, or if you Allah, or if it's Buddha or whatever God, I am, because it's the same energy. If that person wants the healing through you, then I hold their hands and they ask and it comes through.
Yeah, yeah. And the power of asking for it too. So many people don't ask for their own healing, me included.
Yes, so that's what I say. What I always, it started when I was going to Haiti and the person will come in, because when they trust me, they trust me. That's what they heal themselves. Like that lady who lost the daughter and then she has stiffness in her knee from having in her leg because she twisted it and, you know, there is no medical care. So she trusted that she was going to come and see me and then I was going to do something. So I realized if I ask her to ask to pray and ask for it and ask for healing, then they can go after she leaves. I did that. I say, you see, this is the power. And I go like this and the muscles just totally relaxed. And she was, people used to come, oh my God, oh my God. But now what happened now, she realized, I say, I of myself do nothing. I am, you ask to be healed. I am channeling the healing energy to make those things change in front of you. You see things that could not happen. You're going to see change. And I said, then you can do it. And I show her the exercise and I say, this is what you do. So every morning, 2-3 times a day, that's what you do so he doesn't go back. Ask and you shall receive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes.
What are some final pieces that you want to offer all these beautiful souls at the moment, Dr. Carol, about where they can go from here to this path of a healed humanity? It's the path. It's the journey.
Yes.
It's something that is going to be a cycle of giving and receiving, of asking yes. and praying, and a cycle of moving out of the way so we can surrender and trust, but then we also become conduits, channelers of this light of what yes. is this healing. So as we're working harder at moving out of the way yes. so we can be pure vessels of this light, what yes. are some things that you perceive about where we're going as a whole, as one people?
Deep inside, there were a lot of goodness. I always see, because I deal with people from all walks of life, all races. I even have a Muslim man embraced me. You know, women and men. So it's because I am about love, total and pure love, and being a spirit. And as a spirit, there is no judgment. There is total acceptance. So if what we can change is to understand, and I think this virus have leveled the field for everybody. We all the same. And that's always always be. And then if we take that opportunity to understand, this person doesn't matter how much pigments they have on their skin, how tall or size, we all the same. And take that moment, we see it all the time now, of take that goodness that we feel for ourselves and for others and continue. Don't make it that after that it's over. But because it's not instant, it's not something we're going to forget, because there's going to be restriction for a long time. Help the person next to you. See the person as you. And that's what we are. That person is your mirror. Is your mirror. So by able to do that, and me as what I'm doing for the healers is creating a way for them to understand, is as simple as that for the people to be healed. And it's just like somebody coming to you and have a problem and say, I'm there for you. I used to say, how come I don't see all the statistics when I was in practice and that I'm reading about? And I'm realizing the patients had me. They know they can call me. They could call me and see me. And I had a woman, she was going through a horrible divorce. And I gave her husband is very abusive. Her children are saying, no. And then she said, I can't stay for my own soul. And I have to do that. And then so she would make her last appointment at 4:00. So I know I've spent 2 hours with her. Because, and then essentially, is this people knowing she's there for me. And I have patients when their night is driving, I have a patient, it was her birthday. I called her, we stayed friends, and she just renewed a driver's license. She drives a big van. So and I'm thinking, this is why people live longer when they have people they can count on. Isolation, and that's what's causing most of the worst. 80% of the disease is about stress and isolation and discrimination and everything. And discrimination could be for race, for size, for gender, for religion. So if hopefully this will give us an opportunity to understand that and be there for those who love. Call, you know, when was the person you had a grudge on? Forgive. It's the worst thing. And it's the best thing you can do. Not forgiving is the worst thing. Mm-hmm. Holding a poison, thinking the person is going to die while you're dying yourself. So it's I am always optimistic. The reason I'm optimistic is because I see the children. I see the young generation, and I'm telling them, what do they see? From their own eyes. And I have a 11 year old for 9 weeks. And we've been creating, and you say, this is what I'm doing. And I said, you're very smart. and he is a computer whiz and everything, and then his family in a, you know, are very well to do. And I said, you know what? All these things you're going to be doing. He's 11. He's having a bank account. He's making money selling T-shirts. I'm telling you. And then, and I said, what are you going to do for humanity when you have all this money? And I said, see, you cannot see your dad. You cannot travel. You cannot do anything because his father is in New York. We're in quarantine. There's nothing you can do. So you can see now money is not everything. So it's, and then I will hug him. I said, do I know you? Am I your mother? Am I your grandmother? You know, it's like, he's white. He's just like, and am I, do I have any relationship? You've been in my house for 8 weeks. Do you pay any rent? You swim in my pool. Do you pay water bill, electric bill? No. And I said, that's it. I'm doing it from the goodness of my heart. So I'm not expecting anything from you, but what I hope is you'll pay it forward.
That's fabulous. Oh, Dr. Carol, you've touched me. You've touched my heart. You've touched everyone's heart who will listen to this. Thank you very much. How can people find out more about your work?
My work right now, my on my website is it's a physician burnout prevention coach, and also where I'm working with healthcare executives who wants to deliver compassionate quality care, because we need compassion. And it's but eventually I'm being asked, you know, people, you're like, you're connecting with me. There are other, it's not only doctors, it's other practitioners that might, if I do a course. So there is in my website is drcarole.com, drcarole.com.
Drcarole.com.
.com. drcarole, French. It's a friend. .com. So in my web, my email, drcarole@cox.net, drcarole@cox.net. I'm always willing to take the time to be interviewed, and share the wisdom. You know, I'm expecting anything in return, but for whoever listens to it, it will open some part of their heart while they listen to what I have to say.
You sure have for me today, and I'm just so very glad that I reached out to you.
Me too.
And thank you for your beautiful stories. They have opened me up so much and helped validate some of the ways that I can be out there in the world helping, and it's going to help a lot of people heal.
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Carol.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Bless you, and thank you all for listening and watching this beautiful New Earth conversation with our friend Dr. Carol, and all of our hearts are full today. Bless you.